Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. I'm your host, Katya Allison. So what have you gotten yourself into? Together, we are decoding marketing to make it accessible for everyone. Cut through the BS and get down to the nitty gritty. And today, I am thrilled to welcome Josh Troche, founder of Pedal Stomper Productions. Now, Josh brings over 20 years of experience in sales, technical assistance, and video production to our conversation. And what makes his story particularly compelling is how he transformed his sales background into a content powerhouse. And he is bringing that high-level expertise here. In today's conversation, we are diving deep into the strategic business value of podcasting, going far beyond the everyone has a podcast now conversation to explore how smart businesses are using long-form content to build thought leadership, to create authentic connections with their audience, and to generate a wealth of repurposable content. Now, we discuss the critical prep work that separates successful business podcasts from the thousands that launch and quickly fade away, and also explore how the rise of AI tools has both challenged and enhanced the podcast production landscape, while also tackling the practical side, how to prepare yourself and your guests, what success metrics actually matter for business podcasts, and the common mistakes that derail even the well-intentioned podcast launches. Whether you're a business leader considering launching a podcast, a marketer looking to expand your content strategy, or someone just curious about the behind-the-scenes work that makes great podcast content possible, this conversation is packed with actionable insights you can implement immediately. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, Josh. I am super excited to have you on here to talk podcasting of all things. So welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm always excited to talk podcasting.
If you're anything like me, you're probably obsessed with it and people ask you a million and 12 questions. I asked you, I don't know, half a million before we logged on. So this is where the direction of the conversation is going to go. But before we get to that, I want my audience to get to know you a little bit. So I'd love to hear, what was your first marketing role, if you had one, or where you got kind of this bug for podcasting maybe?
It's interesting. So I've got a lot of sales roles and a lot of sales background, and I was in a sales position where someone was allowed to roam whatever territory they wanted because they were giving possibly some kickbacks to the sales manager. So I needed to figure out how I was going to sell all over the place. So with that, I said, let's do videos. I've always done some videos, so why not crank out videos? I ended up with a YouTube channel that had 19,000 subscribers. And that then moved me from just a sales position into a marketing position for 5 semi-truck dealerships. Loved video and said, screw it, I am going to work on that. And the podcasting started as right after I started the business. It was a side hustle. I had done a video for a political campaign. And the person that was running that campaign called me and said, hey, one of the other people I manage, they do a podcast. Do you guys edit that? I'm like, is there a check attached? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, then we edit it.
Done.
You got it.
Oh my God. I love that. Well, what are you doing now specifically? Like your role? I know that you're podcasting, but what specifically do you do?
So I own my company called Pedal Stomper Productions. And the way that I put it for us is we take the pain out of podcast production because, as you know, it can be a little time consuming sometimes. And we help give you that time back because we love doing that stuff that everyone hates.
Yeah, and it is very time consuming, but there is, there's so much that you can gain from it. And we'll definitely get into that, but I'd love to hear what you love about what you currently do, but be prepared. I have a magic wand. If I can remove anything from your day to day, what would that be? Let's start with the good. What is it that you love about what you currently do?
The people and just anyone I get to come in contact with. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Congresswoman Chantel Brown in one of the studios. Yesterday, and working at the college that I contract with, we had the Fed chair of the Federal Bank of Cleveland in. So there's all sorts of, just amazing people. I had a woman from an Afghan refugee in my studio, and so talking to her totally changed my perspective on life. So the people that I get to talk to and hear from, it's just amazing. And it's been life-changing for me.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. That's exactly the way I feel about this podcast as well, too. Now here's my wand. What can I remove from the day-to-day where you're like, if this went away, I would not have an issue with it.
it's funny. I'm a former operations guy too. So a lot of the task driven stuff, I love, but I need that out of my plate because I need to work on the bigger stuff so I can help us move forward better.
I'm right there with you. It's heavy admin and logistics stuff. It's almost too much. Let me get into it. I want the good juicy part. I want the meal of the whole thing.
Exactly.
Now with long form podcasting, really, I feel like skyrocketing. I had earlier mentioned that everyone has a podcast at this point. How are you kind of staying up to date with what I feel like is kind of this moving target, this sort of staying up to date with the trends of podcasting specifically, but in broader terms, probably marketing as well too.
It's interesting. And I'm so glad you brought that up because what we did 2 years ago compared with what we do now is very different in both scale and how it's done because of AI tools.
Yeah.
I initially was like, AI, this stuff sucks. I'm not going to use any of it. And now I'm on a local AI group where six of us business owners get together from different areas. There's an accountant. There's someone that does fractional HR. We all sit down and talk with each other and what are you doing? And to learn about that. And that to me has been hugely helpful. I don't want to say a little bit insulated from it because we've got this personal connection here. I mean, you and I are, we're having a great conversation. And that's going to be tough to replicate, but that could possibly be down the pipeline. So it's just these types of things that we look at and try and stay aware of and, make sure that we're using the best tools that we can. Eventually there's going to be a small subset of people that is going to go away because of AI is going to take their job. And I don't want to be one of those people. I want to stay ahead of it.
Wouldn't you say that should make the authenticity of what you deliver even more impactful? How can you tee up what it is that you're doing in a way that AI can't replace that personality as much as it can? That little, I hate to use the term X factor, but there is a bit of an X factor, right? Like little special sauce that happens when you're watching a podcast where you're like, I'm intrigued for how they're having the conversation. And I almost feel like, yeah, AI can do that. I want to say AI can do that now. I think I heard a podcast where there was an AI Joe Rogan or something like that, which is a scary thought, but I feel like it means I have to be more authentic. I have to be more myself so that I do stand out from the crowd and I'm not replaced. But what are your thoughts on that?
No, it's exactly that. I mean, look, there's going to be all sorts of content generated out there that is going to be avatars and stuff like that. And if it's under 8 seconds right now, in many cases, it's tough I can recognize it, but I look at video with the scrutiny of a jeweler, so to say. there's a lot of people that are just going to be scrolling past that aren't going to recognize it. So I realize we're going to be competing with that. In the same sense, I see some of the human side of it that is, it is much tougher to replace. When I've got a podcast host, she's a wonderful woman. She's a really good host. But as soon as the camera comes on, she gets so nervous. And for me to be able to sit behind the desk there and get her pumped up, especially beforehand, knowing that.
Yeah.
That's a thing that I say is, okay, Will that have, is there every possibility of that being replaced? Sure. But I've got a while of being the coach yet.
Yeah, I also love that part, like the producing end of it. Not necessarily just for like the podcast, but I see it like in businesses when we're doing like virtual webinars and people get so nervous. And I'm like, this is like the easy stuff. Like literally no one is in your room except for you. Like you could cover yourself up and we're just talking. And being able to put people at ease so that you like bring the magic in them out. Ugh, what a high that is, in my opinion.
It really is. And to me, what's so tough, what makes being on camera tough is when, like you and I are talking here, I can see you. I can, if I tell a terrible joke and you laugh, I'm like, all right, it landed. I'm getting that feedback.
I'm easy to make laugh too. So you'll always put good feedback.
But when you're talking to a camera just on its own, it there's no feedback. You just have to have the confidence. And I guess I would say gumption and gusto to be like, hey, I got this, and not need that feedback. So that's the thing that I try and coach people through. Like, hey, just have the confidence to know, yes, it's going to go well. And if it doesn't, who cares? It's not your audience. There's a real quick story. There's a podcast that I listen to. The guy starts the podcast every single time with the most inappropriate joke you would ever imagine, typically. And his audience is 27 to 35 year old men going into business.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't going to be offended by that. So if you are offended by that joke, well, you're not his target audience anyways.
That's true. I also like to live in a world where all of my jokes land. So I just run with that assumption.
You just pretend they do. And if no one laughed, you're never going to know anyways. I love that. I love that confidence, because to me, that's how people find their right audience, is they show up authentically like that, saying, hey, this is 100% me. This is exactly what you're going to get. If you like it, great. See you next week. If not, well, then toodaloo.
Exactly. And that's just even from a personal side. What we're here to talk about is really kind of the nitty gritty, the business side of podcasting and the content that you create. And I'm going to ask you, let's start with a very simple question of why even start a podcast as a business from a brand perspective. What is the value of starting this podcast?
Because it's fun. Also,
that's how my boss is going to sign the check.
Yeah, no, 100%. Boss, I kind of like to have some fun this week. To me, the biggest thing that I see with it is people still do like to buy from people. The thing that I would say with the most shining example of this was when I was at the semi-truck dealership. I had, like I said, I had 19,000 YouTube subscribers. I had someone walk in with like 4 days of potato chip grease on his shirt. He was getting his truck serviced and he's like, hey Josh, how's it going? Awesome to see you. Watch all of your videos. And he sat down like he was my best friend. I am looking at him like, oh my God, do I need to call security? But once again, he was sitting there like he was my best friend because he knew me. He had watched me for hours upon hours on video. So he knew me and who I was. So when you can build that ahead before the first sales call, before the first really contact, even people feel like they know you, they like you, they trust you, you're halfway there.
I feel like so often nowadays I'm running into brands that want to start a podcast. So I understand the value you're talking about, right? It humanizes, it puts a face behind a brand. So it's no longer just like this logo and colors and like what they say. There's an actual person behind it. So there's a ton of value, but in my opinion, I feel like there are a lot of missteps when it comes to it. There's a lot of, okay, well, let's start a podcast. I've got a list of guests. And I feel like there's steps before that, but I'd love your thoughts on that. Maybe you can prove me wrong.
No. So I teach it's a non-credit podcasting class at, it's Cuyahoga Community College's corporate college. And it's four Wednesday evenings, 3 hours each. The first two are pre-production. There's one on production, and then there's another one on where do I put this thing now that I've made it. I equate podcasts to painting a room. It is all about the prep work. If you just go in there and slap paint on the wall, it's going to look like you slap paint on the wall. If you go in there and spend the time, tape things off, cut it in, wash down the walls, things of that nature, it's going to come out looking better. The first thing that I always say is it's the same from the video side of our business. What I always ask people is, why are you doing this and what are we trying to accomplish? If you define that, then you got a chance of success. If you just go in and say, we're going to do a podcast, and I get it all the time on the video side, we need video. For what? Why? I mean, just because you want to, you want to show, hey, we can write large checks. Awesome. Yeah. I would love to take that check, but maybe let's figure out why you want to do this so it's effective.
I feel like you must have been a fly on the wall in the room today, because I legitimately said that. I said, if I get one more effing person that says, I want video, for what? Also, that gives me no direction. What do you want to do with this video? Like 30 seconds, like 60 seconds? Do you know the level of production? And I think, you know, not to get on the sidetrack of video, but there is a lot of production that goes into it. And AI can help in a lot of instances as well, too. But I also think as a brand, when you're trying to balance creating your voice, that human side of your brand, you need to have the human touch in kind of creating that. I'm going to lead you down this path of like an example so that we can kind of unpack the, I'm going to start a podcast. So I'm going to start I want to start a podcast. I'm a brand. And you know, the reason that I want to do it is to like kind of build up my thought leadership. I want to build up my thought leadership. I do have some guests that I want to have on here that are basically, they're experts in this field. And we get to talk about these topics that our audience is going to be really interested in. What next? What is the prep work that I need to do?
The big thing that I always talk about, first off, is run of show. So once you say, look, I want to build my thought leadership, well, great. Let's establish some things that you're going to do in order to make sure that you are established as thought leadership and not just your guests. Like here, we've got a good back and forth. I'm talking about stuff, then you expand on it for a bit, and then we go on to the next question. That's a great way for you to build your thought leadership, and you're doing an excellent job of it. I love it. To me, it's having that mapped out ahead of time. If you just go in and say, hey, I'm going to have a guest on this week that does cool stuff, that's cool. But how does that build your thought leadership? How does that show that you've done the research? How does that show that you're establishing yourself? One way, and it's funny, we're in the middle of revamping our podcast, is we're actually working with guests where we're going to talk about some specific things throughout. And then I'm going to do a 5 or 10 minute summary afterwards. So once we're done recording, I'm going to take my notes, go through them and say, okay, let's do a 5 or 10 minute summary of this. So that way, once again, it does two things. A, it builds your thought leadership there because you're like, hey, look, I knew about this. I learned this, this, and this. But additionally, now when you're talking on camera for that 5 or 10 minutes at the end, now you've got clips of you that you can use instead of just clips of your guest from the show.
I love that. And what you're talking about just scratches the content itch that I always have. I'm obsessed with it. This long form to short form. And this is what I think is so fantastic for any brand who does want to start a podcast and has done their pre-work and, you know, has a bank of episodes that they're ready to go live with. And we won't get into the technical side of like, all right, you know, where do you host and how do you get on Spotify and all of that stuff. But I do want to get into the value of that content piece that you've created. So I have now like a 30-minute podcast where I've interviewed someone. I've got my formula. We've got this good, nice back and forth. Both thought leaderships are showcased. What's the value as a brand to have that piece of content and how can I amplify it?
Oh, this is, you have led a thirsty horse to water and he is excited. I love it. So to me, there's all sorts of the conversation of the podcast is, let's face it, it's those ideas, getting those ideas out is tough. If I just sit in front of the computer and say, type something, my brain is going to fight me every step of the way on that. Yeah. So to me, when you've got this podcast, you take that transcript. Now you've got something that you can easily adapt into some form of a blog or something of that nature. Yeah. So once again, I mean, we use AI to do that with some of our clients. Now we do that to give us the structure, to give us some of the information of what we need. We're going to go through and we're going to write that to make sure it's not just more AI slop that's coming out. We're going to make sure that we're getting the tidbits that are new and good information, because that's what we need. So there is that, the blog post. There's the same thing. It can go out as a newsletter. I hate it when people just send me newsletters saying, look at us. Give me something of value. tell me something. Give me something that I can use. Yeah. So you can do that. Then the same thing, like you said, there's cutting it up into reels. Most podcasts we find, if you record for 20 minutes, you're going to get 4 or 5 pretty good reels out of that you can use, both from you and your guest. Now you're starting to get their social media. You're able to bring that over. I mean, it's a huge part of the reasons why we have guests on podcasts. So you're able to do things of that nature. And then on top of it, this also gives you the ability to go get speaking gigs. There are people that we have all seen where we're like, boy, had I seen that person on film, I probably wouldn't have shown up to this.
That's hilarious.
So when you see someone on camera, you get a pretty good idea of how they would be to listen. So yeah, you can build in the speaking gigs. I mean, there is so many pieces of content that can come out of a podcast. And this is the reason why I love doing the research up front, because you put that research in, you figure out who the person is, what their expertise is, what information you want from them, then you build your items off of that.
I also think one of the things that you didn't mention that I do want to make sure gets mentioned is, from a business perspective, even having the podcast on your website drives so much SEO value, and even more so when you like add like the PDF of the transcript, right? Like that to me is such
huge.
Not easy content, but it is kind of easy content to just, oh my gosh, I have this live there and have people subscribe. So now all of a sudden it's a lead generation tool when it comes down to it.
Oh, and it's once again, it's the fun one. We mentioned it like first thing. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. If I didn't enjoy this, I probably would have picked another line of work. It's a fun way to get a boatload of content instead of having your social media manager hold your phone in front of you while you sit there and begrudgingly say something you don't want to.
Oh, and there's so much more thought that goes into podcasting than I think that people even like realize. And, you know, we talked about right now, just kind of the prep work. We've started to talk about just kind of the content. I kind of want to dig into any sort of advice that you would have for preparing the person who's interviewing. So it's not just being prepped for who you're going to have on, because let's say it's an interview style, but how can I prep myself for kind of being myself, you know, on camera? Is what, do you have any advice for that?
It's interesting. When you ask that, do you ask that as the guest or as the host?
Both, because I think that they're two different things. Because I believe my goal is to make you comfortable. So I have a lot of preparation to do that. A lot of like, you're gonna get this conversation outlined 24 hours beforehand. That way you're not hunting for it. This is my magic sauce in general, because I've tried to send it beforehand. I've tried to send it just the day before. No one reads it like any more than 24 hours beforehand, right? They just don't. So I'm like, why am I gonna bother? I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna let them know, right? So I want my guests to be prepared, but I think especially for someone who is just starting out, especially from a brand perspective, how can they be prepared? So it is kind of both sides of the coin of like, how can you prepare your guests, but also how can I be best prepared?
The thing that I always tell people when they are starting out, is I say, look, I'm to the point where I've done like podcasting and been on camera long enough. I have zero dignity left. Is what I tell them when you're starting out is you have to be willing to suck. It is a process. And what's so difficult about it is everyone sees podcasting as a conversation, which it 100% is. But podcasting is to conversation what driving to work is to being a race car driver. Just because I drove to work does not mean if you put me on a racetrack, I'm going to do great. Would I be able to make it around the track? Sure. I can see the pavement. I can follow the pavement. Would I be any good at it? Probably not. And this comes from someone that spends a fair bit of time at and on a track. I'm not that good at it. So it's one of those things where it's like, look, you have to be willing to go out and put in the repetitions and just show up as yourself. The other thing that I always tell people is a big tip. Don't do it when you're not ready for it. Make sure it's at a good time of the day for you. I've seen people where they come into the studio yawning and I'm like, nope, go outside and run a lap around the building. do jumping jacks. Yeah. I mean, have a cup of coffee. I may dump the coffee on you, whatever. But it's those types of things. Make sure you're energized, make sure you're ready. And the biggest confidence booster is making sure you're prepared. I've done the, hey, I'm doing my research as the person is walking into the studio, and those typically don't go well. If I do my research a couple of days in advance, I typically, when I have a guest on, I do research before I even invite them. Then I invite them and then I'm like, okay, well now I've got the questions. And I mean, at that point in time, I'm comfortable with that person.
Yeah, that's so true. I also don't think that everybody can be a guest, which I think as someone who hosts a podcast is always kind of a crapshoot if I decide, well, I don't do this. I don't do like a pre-interview to kind of gauge, are we a good vibe or are we not a good vibe? There's just not enough time in the day, but not everybody should be a guest.
No, they definitely shouldn't. And I will give you a great analogy on that one. I'm reasonably athletic. LeBron is not threatened by me. I should not go out for the NBA.
Interesting.
I am a 5'9" guy that can't jump. There is a certain level of base talent that I don't have in order to play in the NBA. And I realize that. Do I encourage people to be willing to suck and to get better at it? Yes, but they have to be willing to look at it honestly and say, look, am I getting better at it? And then they have to watch themselves honestly and be like, okay, what do I need to do? How can I get better at this? How can I be a better host? The only other thing that I want to add to that is you and I are both upbeat people. I talked with someone the other day who does a podcasting about auditing.
That sounds fun, riveting even.
It was interesting. She had this very dry personality. She presented very well, but it was very dry, low on the charisma. And I'm like, holy cow, this woman is perfect for this podcast. So it's finding that niche, finding where people fit and going with that. That to me is a big thing. And what I always say when it comes to charisma, I always like to tell people, if you ever want to learn charisma, watch politicians besides Mitch McConnell and, or cult leaders. Those are the most charismatic people on the planet.
They are. Cult leaders is an interesting one, but it is true. Like, cause they have to be dynamic and charismatic and pull people in, right? And make people, this is key, feel safe. Because I feel like that is that sweet spot. Like, I'm just feeling my Maslow hierarchy is just being so nourished, just like being rained on. So cult leaders, that's interesting. Not that we're advocating for people.
We are to not. Follow we are not. Leaders, do not drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, definitely don't drink the Kool-Aid. So we've talked about really having kind of the prep work, just knowing what it is that you're doing, how to repurpose the content, how to be prepared as an interviewer. But what we didn't touch on is how can I prepare my guest if I decide that I'm going to have a guest on there? So what's your advice for prepping your guest?
You sent essentially the questions over. A lot of people like that. What I typically do is I send something extremely reassuring and I send something helpful. I always tell people, I'm like, hey, look, in order to look and sound your best, we're going to suggest headphones. If you've got a microphone, great. We're also going to tell you, make sure that the camera's at eye level. Those are two things that we say. And I always put it as, hey, so you look and sound your best. If we say, if you say, hey, you need to use headphones, no one's using headphones. If we say, you're going to sound brilliant if you use headphones, people become much more likely to use headphones. The other thing that I typically put in there for people is I tell them, hey, look, we're talking about what you do. You're an expert. We're going to cover this area, this area, and this area. And as soon as I say, like, there's no gotcha in this, you're the expert. I'm here to learn from you. As soon as you say that, people are like, oh, okay.
Well, that's easy. Yeah. And that's, I mean, being able to select the right person that feels comfortable talking about that topic, I feel like is such a huge piece. So at this point, my podcast is done. I'm starting on the content. Tell me how I measure success as a brand of this podcast. How do I continue to have my boss reinvest in podcast production?
This 100%.
I tricked him the first time. So, but now I got to prove, hey, this works. Tell me about the success metrics.
The biggest thing that I'm going to tell you is this is why you have that anchor question that I asked about before. Why are we doing this? I always tell people set realistic goals for your podcast. I was just at the higher ed pod convention this past weekend. And everyone was comparing, like, Joe Rogan's kind of the standard. Everyone's like, I need 3 million followers. I need X million downloads. And the two things that I say is, A, first off, have realistic expectations. Who is your total addressable market? If you sell, purple yarn, okay, figure out who the total addressable market is that wants purple yarn. It's not going to be 300 million people. So don't think that you need 300 million people. The other big point that I try to make to people is if you had this is something to podcasters, I always talk about beginning. If I told you, hey, there's 15 people in the next room that want to hear from you, would you walk into the next room and talk to them? Yes.
Yes.
why won't you upload the podcast at 15 downloads then? And that to me is, that's that marker. So to me, are we striving to meet the goals that we set out? Why are we doing this? We're doing this to reach more people. We're doing this to build expertise. Are you building the expertise? Yes. And that's why you have to ask that question up front, because otherwise people are going to default to downloads, and downloads, especially anymore, become less and less accurate of a measurement of who cares.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think, like, consistently I get people who are asking, how many followers do you have? And I'm like, well, I don't live that life of, like, I need a million followers. I've actually said I have no desire to be Joe Rogan at all. Like, that's not even why I started it, right? You know, and he maybe is the standard, but I don't know. At some point, he'll get knocked down. Mark my words. No, just kidding. Don't come after me, Joe Rogan. He doesn't listen. Don't worry. But either way, like, it is more than downloads and impressions. And I love that you tied it back to what was your original goal? Because if my original goal was thought leadership, there's so many other ways that I can prove it out there. There is share of voice. There is how many impressions that I get even to my website to that content. There's the number of content pieces that I create and the engagement on those content pieces when I promote it on social. And hey, are my sales team using this at all? And have I created something else? So there's so many different ways to show this was successful. I like to view podcasting, especially for a brand, is just another way you're creating content. You're just creating it live. That's all you're really doing.
Very much so. And I have a podcast host who does a podcast called Late to Grid. It's about getting people into motorsports. And he runs into people all the time at the racetrack that say, I listen to your podcast. And without skipping a beat, every single time he points to him, he goes, you're the guy?
Yeah. And
they all look at him like, wait, what?
I see you and my mom.
Right, Right.
Two. Yeah.
It's the same thing. So to me, are we reaching the people that we want?
Yeah.
And it can just be a few of them. There's a company that I am spokesperson for that they sell garbage trucks, new ones, not used ones, thankfully. And to me, if one of the videos we do helps, even doesn't need to sell it, it just needs to help sell a garbage truck, it's paid for itself four times.
Yes.
What's that return on investment? And if you're getting more people to see your stuff, even if it's 15 or 20, boy, that can be huge.
That is totally huge. What are some of the mistakes that you see people make when starting a podcast? And I don't know if you can narrow it down to, like, I don't know, top three mistakes that you see.
There's two, and they're both kind of the same, actually. Okay. The number one is, I'm going to start a podcast. And that's where it just goes. They name it, it's like everyone's tomato garden. I threw tomatoes in the ground. I'm hoping in August I'm going to get tomatoes. There's no planning, there's no nothing. They just threw the seeds in the ground and hoped. I'm just going to do a podcast because it is exciting and it is fun. And I absolutely love that. The other piece is not defining why they're doing it, because that is what causes the podcast to go all over the place. And that's when you get pod creep. It ends up in different subjects. It ends up in different areas. I always tell people, name your target. It's like any other marketing. Name your target audience. Name what you're trying to accomplish. Name where you're trying to direct them. And before you hit record on any episode, look at those things and say, are we going to try and accomplish those three things today? And if the answer is yes, then push record. If it's no, then go back to the drawing board.
I love that advice. I have one question before my final question, because I would love to know your thoughts on this. Do you have thoughts on length of podcast? How often you should post the podcast, like weekly, biweekly, monthly, any of that? Or I have a feeling you're going to tell me it depends on what you're trying to achieve. But just in case you're not going to tell me that, any thoughts on either of those two?
Both of them are kind of answered with the same thing. How long should my podcast be? As long as it's good. we talked about a Seinfeld reference earlier. And yes. I'm going to make another one. There is an episode where George tells jokes, and if people laugh at the jokes, he gets up and walks out of the room.
Yes, he's done.
That is how you should do your podcast. Because a lot of people, they wait until, like, you know, this is starting to suck, I guess we should end it here. No, you should have ended it 10 minutes ago. End it while it's still hot. So that's how long your podcast should be. So if you find that 15 minutes, you're still having a good time, but at half an hour, you're like, okay, I guess I have a half an hour long podcast and it's starting to get lame about 20 minutes. Guess what? You've got a 20-minute podcast.
That's why I always like to tell people too. I'm like, I'm always watching the clock, but I'm never going to stop a good conversation, but I will stop the podcast in general.
100%.
Fantastic. 100%. So now I do have my final question, or maybe I just walk out. No, just kidding. I'm not going to walk out. I'm trying to end on the high. My final question is, if you knew then what you know now, what's your marketing or non-marketing advice? I find that sometimes they're one and the same, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Do it. And do new things. I mean, I spent so much time where I couldn't get out of my own way that I just had a difficult time with it. And I didn't learn so many things until later in life. Had I gone out and just jumped on some of these opportunities earlier in life, I would be so much further ahead than I am. But I love the ride and enjoy the journey.
I love that. Just do it. There's another podcast that I listen to, and one of the things they always say is start the blog. I started the blog. It's this thing that people are always talking about. Just start the blog. So that is fantastic advice. I'm definitely walking away with a bunch of nuggets. I know that my listeners have as well too. They're going to start the podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on here and just kind of dropping your knowledge bombs.
Thank you for having me. This has been a ton of fun. We will have to do this again, and I will probably have to get you on my show here coming up here soon too, just because I need to pick your brain now too.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Let's dive into the key takeaways. First one, preparation is your podcast's success blueprint. Now, what struck me most about my conversation with Josh was his painting analogy. And honestly, it's going to change how I think about podcast prep forever, because podcasting prep is like painting a room. He wasn't being clever. He was sharing a fundamental truth that most businesses completely miss when they decide to start a podcast. Think about it this way. When you're painting a room, you can absolutely just grab a brush and start slapping the paint on the walls. You're going to cover the surface, sure, but everyone is going to see it. And they're going to see that you're cutting corners. The paint won't adhere properly. You'll have drips and uneven coverage. And ultimately, you'll spend more time fixing problems than if you just done the prep work up front. The same principle applies to podcasting, except the stakes are higher because you're not just painting the walls, you're painting your brand's reputation and thought leadership in real time. So Josh has seen hundreds of companies launch podcasts without proper preparation, only to watch them completely fizzle out or worse, actually damage brand's credibility. So what's the prep work we're looking for? It isn't just about having good equipment or booking interesting guests. It's about answering this kind of fundamental question that most people skip. Why are you even doing the podcast? What are your specific goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Who exactly is your target audience? How will each episode build your thought leadership rather than just showcase your guests? Without these answers, you kind of end up with what Josh calls this pod creep, episodes that sort of drift into different subjects and areas because there is no clear direction guiding your content. Now, I've experienced this firsthand. Early on when I was podcasting, I thought a good conversation would naturally lead into good content. And sometimes that worked, but I quickly learned that episodes people remember and that are shared weren't just good conversations. They were conversations with purpose, with structure and clear value props. And that meant that I had a plan in advance. Key takeaway number two, being real beats being perfect. Here's something that Josh said that completely reframed my thinking about podcast confidence. And I quote him. He said, "I'm to the point where I've done podcasting and been on camera long enough that I have zero dignity left." And while absolutely hilarious, a hilarious response, it's also incredibly insightful. We live in this perfectionist content culture where everything needs to be polished, planned, and performance ready. But his approach is the opposite. And it's exactly why his clients feel comfortable enough to have genuine conversations that actually connect with audiences. When you release yourself from the pressure of being perfect, you create a space for being authentic. And authenticity, as you know, is what builds trust and connection that drives business results. This doesn't mean being sloppy or unprepared. Using Josh as kind of this example, he is incredibly prepared. He researches guests in advance. He develops thoughtful questions, and he creates an environment where people feel comfortable sharing their expertise. But he's also willing to show up as himself, complete with whatever energy or personality he brings that day. That kind of combination of preparation and authenticity is really what separates good podcasters from great ones. I think about this every time I sit down to record. Instead of trying to be this perfect host, I focus on being genuinely curious about my guests and their insights. When I mess up a question or laugh at my own joke that doesn't land, remember, I assume that all of my jokes land, I keep it into the final edit. I've done it already in this outro. I've stumbled over my words because those are the moments that make the conversation feel real. And real conversations are what people remember, what they share and act on. It's also willingness to admit you're still learning. In a world where AI can generate increasingly sophisticated content, the human elements, the mistakes, the genuine reactions, these moments of discovery become even more valuable. You can't fake energy of a host who's genuinely excited to learn from their guest. And that energy is what keeps people, see, there we go again, coming back to your content. My final key takeaway, content multiplication effect. That is the content possibilities that come from a single podcast episode. It's probably the most undervalued aspect of podcasting for businesses. One 30-minute podcast conversation can become the foundation for a multitude of content across multiple channels. The transcript becomes a blog post, but not just any blog post, one that's conversational, that's authentic, and packed with real insights because it came from an actual conversation, a genuine conversation. I pull quotes from social media posts that actually represent valuable takeaways rather than generic motivational content. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I use the key insights for newsletter content that provides real value to my subscribers, but content multiplication only works if you approach it strategically. You cannot just throw AI at a transcript and expect great results. The magic really happens when you use the podcast conversation as kind of this raw material that you then craft into the content that serves your audience's specific needs across different formats and channels. For example, Josh shared that he uses, what did he share? He shared that a typical 20-minute podcast yields him about 4 to 5 quality reels. But beyond just the quantity, there is something about the video content that came from a real conversation. It has energy and authenticity. There's that word again. I love it. That you can't get from scripted content. When I share clips from my podcast conversations, the engagement is consistently higher because people engage with people. And the SEO benefits are also real and significant. Having podcast content on your website, especially with searchable transcripts, drives organic traffic. People can find your content through these long-tail keyword searches that match natural language used in conversations. And because of that, they also stay longer because podcast content tends to be more comprehensive and valuable than a typical blog post. More importantly, and clearly, this very much so my opinion, this approach to content creation is actually enjoyable. Instead of dreading content creation, I look forward to podcast conversations because I know that one interesting discussion will fuel my content calendar for weeks. It is sustainable. It is authentic. And it consistently provides value to my audience while building my thought leadership. The key insight here is that podcasting isn't just another content format to add to your marketing mix. When done thoughtfully, it becomes a great foundation that makes all of your other content better, more authentic, and more valuable ultimately to your audience. And in a world of authentic connection, this is important. The foundation becomes a significant competitive advantage. What did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear it. A special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Eich, and thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.